This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Taking a look at another story in Parliament, Rumbau MP YB Khairi Jamaluddin, he questioned the impact of the plan of the government to sign unratified United Nations Human Rights Conventions, and essentially bringing forth the question as to how this would affect Bumiputra special privileges. Now, he went on to say that the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, for example, just on that particular instance, it bars signatories from enforcing positive discrimination policies after the goals for which they were implemented were met. So he was sort of raising this in Parliament, saying that, you know, Article 153 of the Federal Constitution clearly spells out the special status given to the Bumiputra folks. And he goes on to say, quote, "Are you saying that Article 153, which clearly gives special status to one group of folks, must have a time limit?" And so that was raised in Parliament.
Right. And to find out more, we're going straight to the source. YB Khairi Jamaluddin joins us on the line. Khairi, thank you so much for being on the show. Now, yesterday in Parliament, you said that there are fixed provisions in the Constitution that would be obstacles to ratifying certain UN conventions. Can you elaborate on what you meant by that?
I did raise the matter that some of these conventions, in particular one of them, may run into problems as far as national legislation is concerned. I don't have a problem with most of the other conventions being ratified, but the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination can run into problems read against the federal constitution. In particular, Article 2 of the said convention will oblige parties who ratify it. They allow for, when the circumstances so warrant, to use positive discrimination. For instance, what we have in Malaysia for the Bumiputra community. But it also adds that these measures must be finite, as in they can't go on forever, and, quote, shall in no case entail as a consequence the maintenance of unequal or separate rights for different racial groups after the objectives for which they were taken have been achieved. So essentially what that means is if you look at Article 153, bestows a special position for the Malays and the natives of Sabah and Sarawak, essentially the Bumiputra. And that could run counter to Article 2 of this convention. So when ratifying it, we have to be mindful of things in our constitution, such as Article 153, not restricted to that only, but articles in the constitution and also national legislation, which may have to be amended. Now, 153 will be the most sensitive of all these things because this is seen to be one of the key provisions in the constitution for the Malays and natives of Sabah and Sarawak.
Right. N. Surendran from Lawyers for Liberty responded to your comments, YB, and said that the ratification of the treaty can proceed without affecting the rights of the Bumiputra. What's your response to that?
Yes, it can proceed because when you ratify a convention and you make yourself a party to the convention, you can also make yourself parties by also making certain reservations or interpretive declarations to the application to the country's application of these conventions. So some countries, for instance, have said that they interpret the convention as not implying any obligations beyond the limits of their respective constitutions. So we could try to do that and see how it goes. When you become a party to these conventions, there's a periodic review. And during this periodic review, the committee that is in charge of the review will see how much you adhere to that. So if we make our reservations known, and this is something for the international lawyers at Wisma Putra, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, as well as the Attorney General's Chambers to figure out, will it ensure that we will not be censured if we continue with positive discrimination policies in Malaysia?
So does this mean that you think there should be a continuation of positive discrimination for Bumiputra in the long term?
Well, policies are different from what is spelled out in the Constitution. Policies should be designed so that they are progressively lessened in the future. to ensure that the objectives of helping that particular community have been met and for the assistance to be tapered out. Now, as far as constitutional provisions are concerned, this is subject to great debate. Historically, some people, including Tun Dr. Ismail, former Deputy Prime Minister of Malaysia, has written and said that 153 was time-bound. Some people have said that 153 and interpreted 153 to be a permanent fixture of the Constitution. And it's something that is obviously very sensitive to the Bumi Putera community. So policies that were associated with what was once known as the new economic policy, these are things that should be tapered off once objectives have been met. Constitutional provisions, however, that's a far, far bigger debate.
And just on that note, were these constitutional provisions the reason why a majority of the international conventions were not ratified by the previous government?
It's one of the reasons for why we did not ratify certain conventions. Some conventions were not ratified because of legislation that we had. So, for instance, civil and political rights, convention and civil and political rights. I think we've either repealed or committed to repealing legislation which would have made it incompatible with us ratifying that. So I think that's fine. I think the government's on the way to abolish the death penalty, which will allow us to ratify one of the other conventions. So these are things that are works in progress. It's just that when it comes to issues of religion and race, as usual, is the most sensitive thing in Malaysia. This has to be approached delicately. So when I spoke about it yesterday, I said, look, this is something that we have to look into. This is something that's been an obstacle from Malaysia ratifying this convention in the past. And it's obviously easier said than done, but it's something that we need to bear in mind. And the minister responded saying that, you know, they're going to look into it. And I said, you'll find that you will end up at the same place as the former government, but notwithstanding that, I think the government should make a good go of trying to ratify it.
And by that, Khairi, are you saying that it's not possible that the government can ratify all remaining conventions? I mean, particularly the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination.
It's possible if we can ratify it with reservation and for the reservations to be recognized and for us not to be penalized or censured during the periodic review that happens once you ratify such instruments, then I think it's possible.
Well, Khairi, thank you very much for joining us. That was YB Khairi Jamaluddin, the MP of Rembau. We're going to hear from lawyer N. Surendran as well. But before that, we want to know your thoughts. Do you want to see the government commit to its pledge to ratify the rest of the United Nations human rights treaties? Do you have concerns about what that ratification will bring? 7733-2900 is the number. Call. Let us know. We'll be right back after these messages on BFM 89.9. It's Uma and Ezra on the Evening Edition. I've been discussing the impact of Putrajaya's plan to sign unratified UN human rights conventions and essentially the discussion about how this would affect Bumiputra's special privileges. Earlier we heard from YB Khairi Jamaluddin, the MP of Rembau. We're now going to cross over to N. Surendran from Lawyers of Liberty. Surendran, thank you very much for being with us on the Evening Edition. Let's start perhaps with the basics. When there are inconsistencies between a convention and the federal constitution, what takes precedence and why?
The federal constitution and our domestic laws, they have got force of law within the country. The convention will have no direct application within the country. However, you have to remember that it's a general principle of treaty interpretation that a state party cannot invoke domestic law as an excuse for not carrying out a treaty obligation. So the way out is by entering a reservation if there are any difficulties in which prevails.
So article, and talk to us what you mean by, hold on a second. Talk to us about
what you meant by
reservations.
Right.
Okay. Reservations are where a particular country, let's say our country, agrees with most of the contents of the convention, but we may have reservations as to the application of one particular article or part of an article. In this case, we are talking about entering a reservation just on part of Article 2, that is Article 2.2.
Right, and Article 2 of the convention compels all state parties to immediately pursue a policy of eliminating racial discrimination in all forms, including reviewing policies to amend, rescind, or nullify laws that create racial discrimination. How does this go against Article 153 of the federal constitution?
Apparently, the difficulty or the issue that has been raised in parliament was whether or not acceding to the International Convention Against Racial Discrimination, the ICERD, will have an effect on Article 153. But the simple answer to that is that Malaysia can always enter a reservation or put down a declaration limiting the application of the convention in relation to Article 153. So there's a simple solution to that.
And does this process of reservation require approval or some kind of consensus by signatories of the conventions?
Well, yes. You see, it's up to the particular country. In our country, we can just place a reservation and explain to what extent we are bound by the convention, especially in relation to Article 153. And if all we really have to do is to be very clear to the other state parties, what is it that we are limiting the applicability of and to what extent? As long as we are clear, then there will be no problem at all in relation to the other state parties who are signing the convention. Nobody is going to object to it as long as we are clear what is it that we are limiting.
If this option for reservation exists, what has stopped the ratification of the treaties from happening in the past?
That is certainly a very good question. In fact, nothing. The previous government or regime could have ratified and ought to have ratified this convention and many other conventions, especially those that relate to human rights. Regrettably, they did not. And actually, it's quite an embarrassment to our country that we have still not either signed or ratified the ICERD. The previous government should have done it a long time ago, because this convention is a wonderful convention. It's a morally beautiful instrument, and we must accede to it. There must be no excuses given.
So, Surendran, we've seen controversial laws like the death penalty being abolished that would make ratification for certain conventions much easier. Would ratifying the International Human Rights Convention eventually require a review of policies and provisions in the Constitution that ensure special positions of the Bumiputra?
Absolutely not. Because in this case, the part of the convention in this case that we are saying may pose a difficulty is only part of an article. You know, it is just three sentences in a convention that has got 25 full articles. That's why actually it's a very small issue that for some reason some people are playing up. So it doesn't require any kind of adjustment of what you call Bumiputra. Actually, it is not Bumiputra, right? It's the Bumiputra special position, as it is rather the special position of Malays and natives of Sabah and Sarawak as stated in the constitution. So there's no need to in any way amend the constitution at this point of time at all. Absolutely no need at all. All we need to do is to make a reservation in relation to the application of the convention to Article 153. That is all.
Right. And as you know, we just spoke to YB Kari Jamaluddin earlier. He is of the view that any further discussion involving the ratification of religious and racially sensitive treaties would eventually see the current government in the same position as the previous administration. What's your take on that?
My simple answer to that is the ICERD, this Convention Against Racial Discrimination, is not a racially sensitive treaty at all. So I am actually baffled why they keep saying that it is racially or religiously sensitive. This is a convention to prohibit racial discrimination. How is that sensitive within our context? It seems to me that those who are raising these matters are pandering to political expediency. It's just political grandstanding, and that ought not to be done. Because if we sign this convention, we will be able to hold our heads up high in the community of nations. If we do not, we will remain a nation that is not prepared to ink the document that says racial discrimination is an evil thing. So that is why I say it is a non-issue at all. And the debate on whether to sign this convention or not should not, for any reason, turn into a debate on Article 153. There's no reason for that, unless there are political motives for doing so.
Well, Surendran, thank you very much for weighing in on this issue. That was N. Surendran from Lawyers for Liberty talking about the ratification of certain UN human rights conventions and how that would impact some provisions that we're seeing in the federal constitution. To take us to the 6:30 news, here's some Jimi Hendrix with Lil Wing on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.